Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
There is an old belief that the universe is made of stories, not atoms. Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff is a show that's about the stories of the universe. Dr. Jeff asks us to engage in the storytelling process of Dialogue, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. In an era of going green, what do we make when we tell stories of healing the world and transforming ourselves? How do stories influence personal and social evolution? What does it mean to take a storytelling perspective on sustainability? Dr. Jeff offers stories of wisdom, healing, and transformation, and engages others to tell stories of what it means to be human and weavers of the fabric of the world, Gaia. Expect the provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic with Dr. Jeff. Get ready to expand the imagination, heal the heart, and inspire personal, social, and planetary evolution. Now, here's your host, Dr. Jeff Lineweaver.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Jeff Lineweaver, and you are listening to Dialogue Radio on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us today as we engage in one of the oldest acts known to humans, that of storytelling, where we sit together as a community and listen to old stories, new stories, and stories of epic reinvention. Every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Dialogue Radio, we will have some of the most gifted storytellers, social entrepreneurs, change agents, speakers, and authors helping you make sustainability epic. So today, I am so thrilled to have a storyteller who is a filmmaker. Today, I have social entrepreneur, storyteller, Steve Keller here to discuss his work in the world and his role as director and producer of the new film, Invisible Young, which looks at homelessness and youth homelessness as a significant issue in the U.S. and across our cities. And, what's exciting to me about this story is that it's a story of redemption. It's a story of, I think, in many ways, what it means to have a cultivated heart in the world. And while we have so many stories when it comes to sustainability on the notion of the environment, oftentimes the role of social responsibility and social justice as ecological justice, as a part of the healing and kind of owning our, taking care of our own is something that is often maybe kind of second or third down the list of what people think when they come to sustainability. And so I really wanted to talk with Steve today about the stories that he's trying to tell in Invisible Young and also learn about his story as a storyteller and filmmaker. So everyone, welcome Steve Keller.
Thank you, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I'm really glad for you to be here today. And so tell us about this latest movie that you've put together called Invisible Young.
Well, Invisible Young tells the story of four young adults who were all homeless as teenagers in Seattle, Washington. It talks about their lives when they were children and their families growing up. It talks about their experiences as they became homeless and lived on the streets, and it follows them as they transition to a more stable life and, become responsible and productive and happy young adults.
So, what brought you to this topic?
Well, it's interesting. I think 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I was fairly naive to the whole issue of youth homelessness. I mean, I really never thought much about the fact that there were teenagers out there without a place to live and without a place to sleep. I started doing some research, trying to figure out what my next film was going to be, and I came across a list of nonprofit agencies in Seattle that I just went down from A to Z, and I picked out the ones that I thought were doing interesting work, and I came across an agency that works with homeless kids. And it kind of blew my mind a little bit. So I looked into it more. I went and talked to the people there. And as I learned about the issue, it just became clear to me it was something that I had to do a film on. I'm a parent, and I think that was the first thing that grabbed me, is like, how does a teenage kid, 12, 13, 14 years old, end up living on the streets? And that was the central question that I wanted to find out an answer to, and the central question I try to ask in the film.
Well, it's the thing that I find So it's both kind of gut-wrenching and then amazing to realize that, you know, you've entitled it Invisible Young, but it really is about this kind of group of people that literally fall through the cracks. And I'm so amazed, at, you know, why don't people really know that we have this issue going on?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I think, you know, everybody's got a different take on this, but I think that part of the reason is that the kids that are out there do a good job of not pointing themselves out. You know, they don't want to walk around the town with banners and say, "I'm homeless, everybody look at me." They're just trying to fit in to society like everybody else. And you know, there's even in that community, there's a stigma to being homeless, and so they try to really downplay that. So you may see these kids hanging out, and unless you really look into it, unless you really start to talk to them, you might not realize that they're homeless.
So there's a stigma to, they don't want people to know that they're homeless, even among their own. Is that what you're saying?
Well, amongst themselves, they're all pretty open about the idea. But to adults, when if you were to just walk up to a group of kids who you might suspect, many of them might not say so. In fact, I mean, throughout the year and a half that I was in production, I kept meeting kids over and over again who clearly lacked stable housing, and yet would tell me, "Oh, yeah, well, I used to be homeless, but I'm not anymore." So, you know, they definitely try to downplay it. And before I go on any further, though, I want to make a point that it's very easy to generalize in these discussions, and I'll say things like, you know, homeless kids will or homeless kids do. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that every person is different and every kid is different. And there's some that'll come clean about this issue, and there's others that feel shame about it, and they'll just, you know, try to hide it. So it really depends on the kid. But for the most part, I think that there is this stigma, even amongst the homeless youth population, against homelessness, and so they try to sort of downplay it as a group.
You know, I've heard stigma as being called the social disfigurement of self. And when I think about, you know, and your point about making generalizations and how that, in some ways, it's the generalizations and the stigma that create this kind of cloak of invisibility that they have. But, you know, how does that show up when you seem very aware of this, the slippery slope of generalization, particularly as a storyteller coming in and wanting to tell their story? And how do you straddle that edge between speaking for versus speaking as, you know, in terms of telling their story but not kind of usurping their story?
Yeah. Well, definitely, it's something that I give a lot of thought to in structuring this film. My approach was to find a diverse group of characters that together might present an overall picture of the issue, but individually, their stories basically live on their own. I mean, the characters tell you their story in the film, and that's who they are, and that's the story. You know, that's the film. It's not trying to make generalizations about this whole population of, you know, homeless kids, but you can certainly make inferences from learning these four stories about what may be happening to some other kid in your city that, you know, if it's homeless or you see, you know, hanging out on the street corner.
So can you give me an example of some of the inferences that may come through?
Yeah, sure, because there's a lot of common themes in that you'll hear over and over again if you start working with homeless youth and hearing their stories. So one of the common themes is when you talk about their families, where they came from, almost always you'll hear of some kind of family dysfunction. Sometimes it's really obvious, you know, parent was a drug addict, parent was abusive, there was sexual abuse in the family, and other times it's really subtle. But most of the time when you dig and when you start to really get an honest discussion going with somebody who's been forced to live on the streets at a young age, it's usually because in the background there was some problems in the family that made it just impossible for them to live at home. Another common thread that you hear in the stories is drug abuse, and it's just, it's a chicken and the egg question, which comes first, drug abuse or living on the streets, but and there's no easy answer to that, but very frequently the kids who live on the streets do participate in that drug culture, and you know, it's unfortunate, but it's understandable when you start hearing what life is like out there and where they came from, and you know, an escape, the escape that drugs provide can help to buffer some of that pain.
Is there any particular drug of choice, or is this just kind of a potpourri of bad things?
It's a potpourri of bad things, and it's an individual thing. And there again, I hate to generalize, and because there are definitely kids that avoid that stuff. So it's not everybody, and I wouldn't even want to say it's the majority, but it is a common theme you hear a lot.
Huh. But what do you think the role of just, you know, the family dysfunction, I can understand, you know, again, not the generalizations, but the things you might expect with you know, people being, you know, issues of rape or issues of just abuse or alcoholism. But, you know, we're gonna take a break, but I'd love to know a little bit more about these characters. And I know that you have four characters to talk about, but, you know, how does that, you know, how do we get away from that family dysfunction and kind of understand, you know, some of the other patterns that they're going through, and how they are wrestling with their own cultivation of self and cultivating that story of redemption, because I know that you really get at that in your movie. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Steve Keller and his new movie, Invisible Young. You're listening to Guy Log Radio with Dr. Jeff. Tune in to Guy Log Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Guy Log Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Guy Log Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic. The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Shosai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like. We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high-oxidant powerhouse. Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at lifesaverchocolate.com or call 888-287-2011.
Psychic Dougal Fraser, the queer guy with a third eye, one of the country's most popular psychics, joins Transformation Talk Radio with a call-in advice show that will provide insights and information on creating your best life. You've seen him on The Real Housewives of Orange County, Dancing with the Stars, and so much more. From gurus to gossip, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Fraser Show will both inspire and crack you up with laughter. Tune in every Tuesday at 10. It's the Dougal Fraser Show.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
on Guylog Radio with your host, Dr. Jeff. That's me. And today we have our guest is director and filmmaker, producer, social entrepreneur, Steve Keller. We're talking about Steve's new film called Invisible Young, a story of grit, resilience, and redemption, soon to be released. But before we continue with our conversation, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact Steve. Steve, can you let us know, you know, if they want to know more about your film, about your film company, anything else, what should people know?
Well, first thing they can do is go to the InvisibleYoung.com website. There's a link there to my own production company website, which is DifferentialFilms.com, and from there they can get my email address.
Okay, great, great. And you have a screening of this, of Invisible Young, this weekend, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Saturday the 23rd at 7 p.m. It's right here on Bainbridge Island, Washington, where I live, and anyone who's in the area is welcome to come.
Great, yay. Well, I can't wait for that. Thank you very much. Okay, well, back to our story, and this is a story of grit and resilience and redemption, and you know, in our previous section, we were talking about stigma and generalization, and even, you know, how that shows up when you think of youth homelessness issues and stuff that comes up around family dysfunction and these types of patterns. That to me, you know, so often in society, I think particularly, you know, when we have somebody who falls into the role of the other or the stranger, these stigma patterns come up that are very much individualistic, and there seems to be, I think kind of the main culture, or the culture in power, seems to kind of be happy at placing these patterns and labels upon the person. But, you know, when I think of sustainability, when I think of people taking care of their own and the social justice issues, to me, this also, this, you know, there's a reason why these young are invisible, and that is our cultural lens and our cultural stories of kind of the dominant culture, or maybe the culture of the privileged. And Steve, you know, what was your experience in getting feedback, or just kind of your own journey into this world where you're kind of, you know, looking at these the other side of the coin, looking back at how people are stigmatized?
Well, you know, first of all, I'd like to say that this idea of invisibility is prevalent in this segment of our population. And you know, when you hang out with somebody on the streets who falls into this category, you know, you quickly see what it looks like. You know, first of all, if you're homeless, what do you do all day long? You know, you don't have a place to go. So you end up just hanging out on the sidewalk, or, you know, wandering around town. And so you are out there, you know, and you're walking right by people, and people are walking right by you. If you're panhandling, which almost every homeless person does at some point to earn some money, you're really putting yourself out there, and you're telling, you know, passersby, here I am, and I don't have a way to support myself. Can you help me? And that's where you started to see it. And for over a year, I was going out on the streets of Seattle regularly and hanging out with some kids and meeting new kids, and frequently saw this, where they'd be sitting there panhandling, and people just walk by. And, you know, I've been guilty of this myself in the past, and actually try to look the other way. And I think it's, you know, it touches upon something inside of us that we don't want to admit, you know, that there's a failure in our society, and we all have to take some responsibility for that. And it transcends youth homelessness, all, you know, through adult homelessness as well. But with kids, I think it's even more profound, because here's a person who really hasn't been given the tools to support themselves, and you know, they're not defined as an adult yet, even legally. And so it can be very profound when you see a 14-year-old kid panhandling, and people are turning away and, you know, really trying to ignore him, you know, or her.
Yeah, well, it's you know, hearing you describe that, it to me, it's extremely visceral when you think that in a world where we can story a world that is a socially just and socially responsible, sustainable world, where it works for everyone, and watching people you know, literally turn their head, and probably it's so knee-jerk that they, you know, go on to their double skinny half-calf latte, you know, 5 minutes later, and not even think about it. And then, of course, there's the part that we all recognize in ourselves that have also been guilty of that. You know, this kind of cultural denial hits each of us in different ways, but that's certainly there. So because that's kind of a pattern out there, you know, what's your sense of these four characters? You know, how do they wrestle with their own kind of fate and destiny stories? And you know, how does that lead to their resilience or their transformation? You know, what was your learnings?
Well, this is where I think it's really interesting. I mean, this is the crux of the film, and observing this in these four people is really fascinating to me. Because they've been taken through the ringer, you know, they've been down to the depths of life that most of us never get to go to and never want to go to, certainly. And they've been forced there at a very early age, and yet maybe because it happens at an early age, there's this just innate resilience in them. There's this innate ability to sort of put it behind them and move on. But it's hard, and it takes a lot of work and a long time. I mean, it's not something that happens overnight. So that's another common theme in the four characters' lives, is all four of them came to a point where they decided, okay, this road that I'm on is going to lead me to prison or death or both, and I have to change if I want a happy, productive life. And that does happen. It seems to happen in a relatively short time frame, you know, maybe within a week or two or a month or so, when they sort of like really come to grips with that decision and make it part of their life. But that point is just the beginning, because it's at that point there's a lot of baggage. There's a lot of emotional baggage. They, you know, depending on who they are and where they came from, they may or may not have any job skills or life skills that we know of, so to speak. And it can take quite a long time, years, to acquire the emotional maturity, the life skills, the job skills, to overcome those obstacles. I'm happy to say that in all four cases, the kids did seem to do that. One of them is really on the fence, and she, at this point, I'm not sure if she's going to continue down the road of transformation or not, but the other three seem to be solidly on their way. But it did take a long time.
You, there's one character in your film, his name is Jackson, and he's a train hopper.
Yeah,
you know, how does you know, that makes me think of like Little Rascals. I mean, when I think of train hopping, it's like, you know, the early 20th century and kind of hobos and you know, the Little Rascals. Like I was saying, you know, when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, that still happens?
Yeah, apparently it does, and it's dangerous. Jackson tells a story about seeing a kid who thought for some reason he could hop on the train from the front and didn't make it. And ended up hanging on a fence 50 yards away or something like that. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But there is a population out there that still does that, and I think it's mostly young people because it is so dangerous. But, you know, part of, I think, what happens is that sometimes these young people hit the streets, and part of their escape is to travel. You know, let me get out of here. Let me go see someplace else. And they just want to explore, and maybe it's also part of the, you know, escaping their own demons, that if they're on a train traveling somewhere, maybe they don't have to face some of the issues that they eventually do. But yeah, there's still a population of train hoppers out there, and it's pretty amazing.
I, you know, in depth psychology, there's a lot of there are a lot of conversations about you know, the role of the hero's journey and how it's used in, say, prison populations, and helping people kind of think through, you know, how am I consciously walking my life and my journey, and how am I the walker of it. And over and over, at least from what I understand, in the prison population, a lot of people, it's the desperate need for any type of initiation. That they feel so ripped away from just kind of being initiated as a part of a coherent society, Did you see anything like that? You know, I've heard about this kind of family on the street idea within street cultures. You know, did you see that? And do they have rituals? And
Yeah, although I don't know if I saw any of that firsthand in terms of ritual, but there's definitely such a thing as street family, and some of the young people participate in that more than others. You know, some sort of keep to themselves. Others really clamor for that camaraderie and companionship. And it does serve as a replacement in a way to normal family. They even go so far as to label themselves street moms and or street dads and or street children and street brothers and street sisters. And I'm not exactly sure. I couldn't figure out ever, you know, after a year even, of what makes somebody a street mom versus a street sister. But they're there, and it's part of it's part of street culture. Like I said, it's not ubiquitous, but definitely some kids, you know, clamor for that. It's really fascinating. It's one aspect that they don't like to talk about too much as a rule, at least not to me. So I you know, I can't tell you much more than that, but yeah.
Well, great. Very interesting. Well, listen, we need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Everyone, my name is Dr. Jeff, and you're listening to Guylog Radio. When we come back, we'll speak more with our special guest, Steve Keller. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
What would it feel like to let go of a painful story that causes suffering? Discover how love is greater and more powerful than fear, anger, doubt, worry, or grief. Superior to any story about your life that causes suffering, there is a story of love waiting for you. Can you imagine a story without judgment? A story of forgiveness? A story that releases "I can't" and proclaims "I can." Imagine a story where you let go of what was and embrace what is and create what you want for the future. The first 25 audience members to contact Dana at danafrost.com and inquire about the Pay It Forward, Pay What You Can coaching promotion are invited to a one-hour power-packed coaching session or two 30-minute coaching sessions. You simply pay what you can afford to pay. In the subject line, please input Pay What You Can coaching inquiry.
Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent investigation into grocery store coffee revealed three dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck. Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camano Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The Five Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. To get your free copy now, that's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camano Island Coffee Roasters.
We're back on Guylog Radio with your host, Dr. Jeff. That's me. With your guest, our guest today is Steve Keller, who's the director and producer of the new film Invisible Young that will be having its premiere screening on Bainbridge Island, Washington, which is in the Seattle area, on June 23rd at 7 p.m. You can find out more about the upcoming pre-screening at InvisibleYoung.com. All right. Well, in our break, Steve and I were talking about the foster system and the connection to, you know, our American cultural view oftentimes of really struggling to take care of our own. We live in such an individualistic, heroic culture that taking care of one's own has its own issues that clearly show up in the lives of these people in your story. And so you have one character who was transferred how many times as a foster child?
Well, he says he was in over 70 placements.
He was put 70 in placements.
70, yeah. He says he was so he was put in the foster care system at age 5, and basically aged out. He managed to stay in for a few extra months after 18, so he could get his high school diploma. But so that was 13 years in the system.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you know, from what you know about him, you know, if he were to tell the story of this world that walks by, let's say, you know, what's the story that he would tell of us? You know, looking back at us.
Well, you know, it's hard to say. He's the oldest of the four main characters, at least, you know, in terms that I met him later on in life than the other three. And I mean, obviously, they're all this, you know, relatively the same age now. But he also seems to have a slightly more mature approach, or maybe understanding of his role in the world and where he fits in, and he sort of probably has the best, arguably the best understanding of where he came from. He's had the longest time to process it, but I can't speak for him as to how he would look at the you know, the world outside when he was homeless. But but he's an amazing guy, and he's managing to pull his life together right now. Really, it's I've seen it transform over the last year and a half since I've known him, and it's you know, I got my fingers crossed because he's still got a long way to go. But it's really encouraging and inspiring to see.
And so, tell us a little bit about, you know, what is he doing? You know, what are these kind of footholds forward in his life?
Well, for him, so Michael met a girl after he got out of prison. Prison was, as he puts it, prisoner was the eye-opener for him. You know, he was going down this road of drugs and crime, and got arrested for car theft, and I'm sure it wasn't the first time he'd been arrested, because he eventually got sentenced to 2 years in jail and at the state penitentiary. And that was when it sort of hit home for him that this was not the life he wanted to live. And so he, one of the good things about jail is that if you want to get clean, you can. I can't say that it's probably it's going to happen to everybody, but many people who go to jail do get clean when they're addicted. And so he was able to clean up in jail, did his time, made the commitment. When he was offered a work release, he took it and started, making that transition back to a more normal life. He met a young woman shortly, maybe even during his work release, and they really hit it off. And that was about 2 years ago. And since then, it's been a rocky, bumpy road, but they've managed to stay together. And she got pregnant by him about 9 months ago, and they just had a baby. And I went down and saw him about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he's really using this opportunity to as a bellwether moment that, you know, having a child is really going to help him, I think, focus on staying off drugs and staying off the streets. And mm-hmm. it looks good so far. So, you know, but I, like I said, I have my fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there, you know, the love of a good woman, you know, is, you know, it really is just one of those things, or someone who cares, you know, just someone to share your life with is so important. And, you know, it's, you know, we have Robert Putnam's book, you know, Bowling Alone. And it's so pervasive in our culture that that every once in a while, I think that, you know, we have so many psychic orphans in our culture. That you know, they're old. In a lot of the old stories, they would talk about the poison eaters and how they would make certain people who are stigmatized by society, the orphans, the cast off, whatnot, be the poison eaters for all the. In this case, I think in modern culture, this kind of psychic orphaning, where we're all, you know, we have more acquaintances and less friends, and you know, if you really get sick, no one knows. You know how to call, and you know no one will call you. if you're too sick to Facebook your status update, like, I'm screwed, that's my status update. Yeah. But it's, you know, to me, this film really speaks to that. You know, what does it mean to be a poison eater and then transform to become a wounded healer in the world that recognizes that it's not about just manifest destiny, but it's about you know, needing to be needed. And finding someone that needs you back. And yeah. I think that is really special.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'd like to say a little bit more about Michael, because it definitely addresses that point. When you think about his life up until he was 18, you know, from age 5, he never had permanence. He never had a parent. He had parental figures in his life, and he had people calling them his parents, but they weren't his parents. And it's tragic. It's totally tragic. And to overcome that is really an amazing feat when you think about it, how damaging that could be to somebody, not having that rock, that role model that, you know, to follow your life and to help lead you through life in those formative years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know there's, you know, lots of people are raised by single parents, and there's lots of people from broken families and all that, but this is, you know, in the foster care system, you're put into at age 5, you know, to go through it for 13 years without any kind of permanence. It's really, it's amazingly damaging, and it's a testament to his strength of character that he's been able to turn things around to the degree that he has.
And what about the other characters in the movie? You know, how have they been fighting the good fight to kind of, you know, find that whatever that way is for them at resilience and transformation?
Well, they each have found their own road. Jacqueline is a young woman who really latched on to one of the organizations in town that works with homeless kids, and that was her salvation. And the woman that runs it was her mentor, and it's been phenomenal for her. And having, you know, finding that person who could sort of, act as a surrogate parent and help lead her through those formative years and help her make that transition has been, you know, instrumental in her getting off the street. And she continues to work for that same agency and is helping other young people now try to make that transition. The other character, Jackson, who you mentioned before, he's not the youngest, he's the second youngest of the four, and he's been making great strides in the last year and a half. His call to arms, so to speak, was he was diagnosed with a potentially fatal liver and kidney infection, and the doctors told him he could not resume the lifestyle he had been participating in if he wanted to live. And so since then he's been making strides as well, and he's had help from a social worker, and it's been difficult at times, but you know, he's on the road to a more stable sort of normal, quote unquote, life. He's got a job, he's got an apartment, and you know, he's trying to carve out a new sort of circle of friends. That's part of the problem with becoming initiated into street culture, and you have this street family, is that everybody you know is homeless. And it's very difficult then to break that cycle when you want to become, you know, a member of sort of normal member of mainstream society. It's hard when all your friends are homeless, so you have to, like, break
break ranks with all your friends and establish a new circle of friends. And that's very challenging, especially for somebody who doesn't have a strong family behind them. So, and then the fourth character is a young woman named Rachel, and she's the one who I have my fingers crossed for the most right now. She's been out of touch for 3 or 4 months, and I'm not sure what's going on, but she really hit rock bottom, attempted suicide, and ended up in jail a week or two later, and decided at that point that she wanted to live. And she's made amazing strides since then, but it's tenuous, and I'm just, you know, really keeping my fingers crossed, like I said, that she can continue to move forward.
If people want to, you know, donate or help or get connected into anything related to youth homelessness, are there any resources that you suggest?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I'm in the process of updating my website with links to organizations in the Seattle area that work with homeless kids, the ones at least that I worked with in the film. I'm sure that, you know, if you just Google homeless youth or, you know, I don't know, teen homelessness or something like that in your city, you could find organizations that work with these kids. There's a half a dozen agencies in Seattle that do that, and they do amazing work. They each have their own personality, and they each sort of take a slightly different approach to the problem, but they all together provide a great service and a great amount of resource for these young people.
Okay, great. Well, you know, we need to take a break really soon. So could you let our listeners know, you know, your websites again, and then they can check out the extra resources that you have there as well?
Sure. It's the website for the film is invisibleyoung.com. Invisible Young is one word. And Differential Films is my production company. The website is differentialfilms.com.
Great. Thank you very much. My guest today is Steve Keller. You're listening to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff Leineweaver. Be right back.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Tune in to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Dialogue Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Dialogue Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
Are you ready to create a beautiful and powerful partnership between your heart and the essence of gratitude? Are you ready to create the life that you desire for yourself and your family? Then stop worrying about your bills and step out of the daily grind by tapping into infinite possibilities. Let the essence of gratitude infuse you on your journey. Join our Infusion of Gratitude community today and receive your free MP3 audio Infusion of Gratitude meditation. Daily use of this powerful 20 minutes meditation raises your awareness and welcomes health, wealth, and enriched relationships into your life. Visit us at explorationgratitude.com.
We're back on Guylog Radio with your host, Dr. Jeff. My guest today is Steve Keller, producer, director, social entrepreneur of the new film Invisible Young, and also the owner, producer of Differential Films. And, you know, today has been a wonderful discussion around what it means to take care of our own, how society does not often know how to take care of our own, and the invisibility of so many in our lives. And I think the real need for us to reflect on, you know, when we say sustainability, what does that mean in terms of each other and how we help our, you know, help all of us live healthy, happy, balanced lives. And so, Steve, you are a storyteller, and once you hear these other stories, you know, how do you, you know, I gather that, you know, this is, they are gems given to you, and you try to tell these stories, but how do you go into this filmmaking process and funding and distribution? How does this all work?
Well, we could do a 2-hour discussion on that and just surface, it's complicated.
But, you have 7 minutes instead.
Yeah. So, you know, my personal approach is when I decided to make this film about 2 years ago, there's no point in starting a film that can't get finished, in my opinion, because it's just so involved and there's so, you know, you're making such a huge time commitment. So once I decided to make the film, I was committed to seeing it through. And unfortunately, that means spending money because it's an expensive proposition. You know, Hollywood film, Spielberg film, will go out and seek investors at the beginning stages because they know they're going to make money and they'll be able to, you know, reward the investors. But documentary productions don't seek investors; we seek contributors. And it's an unfortunate fact of the business that you could spend more time trying to raise money for production than you will in production. I didn't want to do that, so I decided I would finance the film as much as I could myself. I would do as much fundraising as I could while once I started production, and I have done that, and I continue to do that at this point. So I've been able to raise enough money to get me through, and the film is finished, but there's still the whole road ahead of distribution, which can be very complicated and time-consuming, and is still relatively expensive. So we are submitting to film festivals right now, and that's sort of the first thing I need to do to try to get some exposure for the film. We're going to have a couple of local screenings here in the Seattle area, this one coming up Saturday on Bainbridge Island, and then another one sometime in the next few months in Seattle that'll be a little bigger and more broadly promoted. I'm hoping to get it on television. I'll be submitting to PBS and several other networks within the next year or two. It's a complicated process, but that's been my goal from the beginning. And I have experience with this in the past. I worked as a producer at a PBS station for several years in Santa Rosa, California. So I'm confident that I will get it on PBS stations at some point. Just how that happens, I don't know. If PBS is the network that picks it up. If it's not PBS, it'll be one of the other networks. But I'm confident we will get it on television. And but that's going to be years away, probably.
So if people wanted to contribute to this this project or get involved in any way, should they just go to your invisibleyoung.com website?
Yeah, absolutely. Contact me directly. I'd be happy to talk to you one about it. And yeah, we're definitely looking for contributors. We're still looking for contributors, so that'd be great.
Okay. And maybe even screeners as well. Would you host screenings elsewhere, I assume?
Absolutely, yeah. Small screenings are great. There are restrictions about some public performances when you're submitting to various film festivals. But small private screenings, you know, colleges and universities, local clubs and things like that that can host a screening, those are great. And I'd be interested to talk to anybody who is interested in discussing that.
Yeah. So beyond this film right now, you know, how do you sit with this? You know, what are your takeaways from this whole process? How do you swim through the world and you know, can you swim through the world in the same way, or you know, how does it travel with you?
Well, it's definitely been a life-changing experience for me, and I mean, I knew that going in that it probably would be. I don't think I'll ever walk down the street and see somebody panhandling without, you know, and not have a different reaction than I did before, regardless of how old or young they are. And but that's one of the reasons why I do this for myself. It's just I find that when I take on a project like this, it's great. I mean, I really learn a lot about myself, about our society, about culture, about my life and where I fit into everything. And it's been incredibly valuable for me in that respect, and I'm really glad I did it. And then there's this whole, the life of the film and how that affects other people, and that still remains to be seen. But I'm hopeful that we'll see some. It'll change some lives somewhere, and that's the goal in producing a film like this, of course.
Well, on your website for your filmmaking company, Differential Films, I recommend people check it out, differentialfilms.com. But you have this lovely breakdown of the definition of differential, and that is an infinitesimally small change in a variable, along with a device capable of transmitting motion. And those are both nouns, and then the adjective of producing effects by reason of quantitative differences. And I just think about, what's the afterlife of all of these conversations that we can have about, how we sit and take care of one another, and how do we really think about seven generations forward if we even have people going through 70 foster placements? And yeah. So, to live the life of filmmaker, storyteller, I think is something to really be honored, and I respect it so much that to hear your story of it seemed like this whole topic kind of tapped you on the shoulder when you least expected it.
Yeah, I would say so. One other thing I'll say is that I'm really grateful for the relationships that I've made and the people that I've met in this process, and the social workers and the people that work in the field with these homeless kids every day are just amazing people, and I'm grateful to know them all. And the kids that I met, I'm proud to know them, proud to be associated with them. So that's been the best part of it for me, and I hope that people who see the film can get just a little sense for that, and maybe feel a little bit of that that same sort of pride and appreciate. The characters and the people that are out there doing this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, your film gives me hope, and it also speaks to the true heroes out there. We hear a lot about the hero's journey, but when you see people who are really going through kind of the shadow that is so, so key. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, I hope people see your film. I hope people talk about this issue. Differentialfilms.com is your production company, and Invisible Young is the website. Invisibleyoung.com is your website. And so, Steve, again, I want to thank you for joining our show today and inspiring everyone and talking about your life as a storyteller. And I hope indeed that this conversation is differential, and the world is a better place. So thanks again.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yep. So everyone, thank you very much for joining us today. Gala Gredo is the place where story seeds the imagination and inspires you towards personal, social, and planetary evolution. Please join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Gaialog Radio, where we will have some of the most gifted storytellers, social entrepreneurs, change agents, speakers, authors, helping you make sustainability epic. Next week, I will have author and metaphysicist Vipin Mehta on the show. So a lot to look forward to. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Gaialog Radio with Dr. Jeff Leineweaver. Tune in each week, Monday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for more transformative stories of the universe. Dr. Jeff asks us to engage in the storytelling process of Gaialog, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Explore the questions that challenge us all by asking, what do we make when we tell stories of healing the world and transforming ourselves? How does this influence personal and social evolution? What does it mean to take a storytelling perspective on sustainability? For more about Gaialog Radio, visit www.gaialog.com. That's gaialog.com. See you next week on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio is designed to attract people like you and like me. Millions of people across the globe are looking to uplevel their lives. If you have a message and want to take it out on Transformation Talk Radio, make sure you give us a call, 1-800-930-2819, or send an email to host@transformationtalkradio.com and get ready to host your own show on one of the fastest growing transformative networks in the world. Transformation Talk Radio.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network.
And Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great, we should spread the word.
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.